Welcome back to the Balancing Act podcast. I'm Andy Tempty. On the Balancing Act, we talk to business leaders and industry experts to explore the balancing acts we play in our professional lives and learn about the events that put rocket boosters behind their career success. Today, we have Allie Berry joining us. Allie is a respected thought leader in the areas of content marketing and search engine optimization, commonly known as SEO, and has led omnichannel marketing initiatives at companies like The Motley Fool, Urena Group, and my former employer, Kaplan. Allie and I work together at Kaplan Professional. To state the obvious, we are going to be peeking behind the curtain into the world of SEO and content marketing. Thank you so much for being here, Allie.
Thanks so much for having me.
This is going to be a lot of fun because SEO is just a mystery to me. Even after all of these years, you were one of the first, like, we've really got to get our SEO act together. And that was way back in, what, 2012, something around there?
Yeah, somewhere at like 13 to, yeah, I think I was at Kaplan 2013 to 17 or something.
Yeah. But boy, you moved the needle for us. So hopefully the goal today is for our listeners to get some real nuggets from you on this topic. But before we get started, please tell our listeners your story.
Sure. I'm currently working as a fractional SEO director and consultant. So I'm providing SEO and content strategy guidance to, I would say, medium-sized, fast-growing companies. To really sum up what I do in a sentence, it's I help businesses create content to get more traffic, leads, and customers through search engines. And I've been doing this for about 13 years now for a number of large companies, like you mentioned. How I got here, I started my career actually as an English teacher. I lived in Japan for a couple of years and did that. And then when I returned to the U.S., I actually spent some time studying special education in a master's program at night. And I got an entry-level SEO role at an agency during the day. And what I kind of realized after about a year of doing that is how closely SEO is really related to special education, and that it's really about making websites more accessible for people and for search engines. And I was really enjoying what I was doing. And so I ended up sticking with that full time and doing that instead of making the switch to the school system. I've become a lot more specialized in recent years in content strategy and scaling content production. A lot of that is thanks to my work at The Motley Fool. They put out a couple hundred articles a day, which is, you know, with a huge team of freelance writers and content strategists, that's significantly more than most companies can do. And it's a skill set that's been really valuable in helping other companies scale. And then otherwise, I try to speak at industry conferences a couple times a year just to keep my teaching skills sharp and continue to grow my personal brand as well.
I did not know about the English teacher background and that you spent a couple of years in Japan. That's really cool. Yeah, if you had to pick an event in your life that was a key accelerant for your career, what would that be?
This is probably a convenient answer because of who I'm talking to, but when I was a content marketing and an SEO specialist at Kaplan, I feel like it was a rare opportunity to start a content marketing strategy from scratch. And I got to do that for the Kaplan financial education brand, basically by myself. I was on a team of two managing three brands. So we kind of divided and conquered our work. And it really allowed me to learn how all of the pieces of content marketing and SEO fit together, building the actual content, developing the distribution strategy, tracking the results. I didn't have experience taking either insurance or securities licensing exams or the CFP exam. So I was forced to talk to a lot of former students and talk to instructors and really immerse myself in the content and the audience and try to understand like what would resonate for these people. And I developed a lot of the free articles about topics that prospects would care about. I built some really cool eBooks utilizing interviews with former students, offering advice about their careers and about the testing experience. I'm really proud of that stuff. It's unique and it's like really useful content. And I also got to build email and social campaigns for like when we captured prospect emails, and then we could give them more content and obviously try to sell them our products. And I mean, I think the results really spoke for themselves. We drove $1 million in direct revenue from those gated content leads over the first 2 years of publishing. So it was a really great experience. It was fun that it worked so well, and it gave me a story to tell, which helped me really grow my own career and my personal brand. So thank you for the experience and the autonomy, Andy.
Well, I have very few regrets in my life, but there are several laments. And one of the things that I lament about is I put myself back into that time period, 2012, 13, 14. And I want to go back and give more of myself and my direct expertise as the chief executive to that content marketing strategy, to, you know, put as much energy behind it as possible. So, I really do appreciate the work that you did. Allie, for the uninitiated, SEO can be a real mystery. Define what it is for our listeners, please.
Sure. SEO stands for search engine optimization. Really at the most basic level, it's about making a website accessible for search engines and getting a website to rank as well as possible for search queries that matter the most to a business. So it is about matching the language that people use to search for a topic with how you talk about it on your website. SEO has really three pillars. I would call content is one pillar, which is what is visible to your users. So the words or videos or pictures you use on your website. There's a technical component. So that's about things like how fast the website loads, your sitemaps, markup language that you're using in HTML. And then there's also a brand building side. So ensuring that other sites are talking about you and linking back to your site. That's like a vote of trust from the search engine's lens. So the more links that you have coming back to your website, the more Google is going to see you as an authority in that space.
One of the things that I really didn't put together soon enough in my career is that SEO is about understanding customer behavior, because there is a human being on the other end in a search engine typing something into the into the address bar, right? They're thinking about words. So, you know, putting yourself into the head of your customer or your prospective customer is a big part of the challenge, is it not?
Exactly. Yeah. It really is about trying to understand, like, I guess, searcher behavior too, and understanding kind of what they're looking for, but also the why behind it and what the intent is of their searches, whether it is like to buy a product or to learn more about something. I feel like that's what keeps it interesting, is you're always trying to like dig deeper into kind of the why behind what people are doing.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about that lament that I had, and it's really putting those two things together, the customer and their behavior in a search engine. You know, all of the behavioral economics that we talk about today really do have a lot to do with it. What's the most common misperception of SEO that you'd like to debunk for our listeners today?
Yeah, I think really since SEO has been around, I think the most common misperception about it is that it's about gaming search engines. Yeah, definitely. That was, I think, more common in the early days of the internet. It was really easy to do, but in this day and age, it's actually really difficult and not really worth the effort. I feel like usually people who are trying to game search engines are, in the end, going to end up penalized for it and get losses, not gains. And that SEO really is about, like what you said, it's about getting into the head of a user. It's about providing a great user experience. It's about providing useful information to people prospects and customers. It's about making a website easy for search engines to crawl and understand. So it's really in the end about trying to make websites better. But I think a lot of times it gets a bad rap as it's something that's trying to, you know, ruin the internet or what have you.
Well, that bad rap, unfortunately, comes from the repeated, I get them, you get them. If you're in business, somebody is trying to communicate with you, telling you that they have all the secrets, that they have been able to, quote unquote, unlock all the secrets and game the system. And it's just not doing the profession any favors, because it is about that customer interaction. So that's really the point of you and I getting together here today, is to debunk those misconceptions and get folks thinking about the customer in SEO. Allie, it wouldn't be the Balancing Act podcast without discussing a balancing act. So what is the primary balancing act that a marketing professional has to play when designing and implementing a new SEO strategy?
Yeah, I would say that it's balancing what we call search volume. So the number of average, it's like the average monthly amount of time somebody is searching for a particular term. So in SEO, you're looking for keywords that get a lot of search volume each month. But if you only built a website chasing search volume, you're going to have a really disjointed content strategy. So I feel like it's balancing like how people are searching for things with what actually makes sense for your website. And that's where I feel like content marketing has a really nice like play with SEO, in that you really should be understanding kind of the audience that you're targeting, what information that they need, and then building, you know, a good content strategy around that, versus just blindly kind of search, like following what the search volume is telling you. So it's finding that balance of, you know, you want to go after those keywords that have more search volume to try to attract more people, but you also want to have a content strategy that actually makes sense for what you're doing.
Yeah. Before we head off to commercial break here, can you talk just a little bit about how artificial intelligence might be starting to play a role here in the world of SEO, and how users are potentially changing their behavior with the keyboard and their address bar?
Yeah, that's a pretty loaded question. AI's definitely made its splash. I guess from like a user perspective, we're definitely going to need to get better at, I guess, identifying how people are searching in different, I guess, facets. So like not just on Google search, right? Some people are actually taking their searches to ChatGPT. Mm. We obviously don't have great data around that to like be able to capture, but in the end of the day, you know, the ChatGPT, all of the information coming into ChatGPT is what already exists on the internet, right? It's been scraping all kinds of sources. And so the more authoritative your sources are, the more likely you are to get into that, whether that's good or bad. But it'll be interesting to see how this evolves. I think like Bard is obviously already present. And it's just going to give people more personalized results. But it doesn't necessarily mean that like SEO is going away or anything like that. If anything, it's going to be more important that you're ranking at the top for as much as possible, because you're going to want, you know, to get pulled into all of these different AI elements. You know, Google is coming out with what they're calling a search generative experience right now, which is their attempt at AI results as well. But in the end of the day, Google needs to make money. And so they're going to be pulling in, you know, outside sources into their AI generated results. So I guess it's a matter of time to see kind of how that's all going to unfold, and then what the right strategy is going to be going forward.
Yeah.
But it definitely is making things more interesting these days. That's for sure. Just, it's like a lot of new things to learn very quickly, which I'm enjoying.
That's cool. Well, let's take a really short commercial break, and we'll be right back with Allie Berry. Has trust broken down in your organization? Learn how smooth workflows enable accountability and unlock trust to create long-term business success. Learn more in my new book, The Balanced Business, available today at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold. And we're back with Ali Berry talking about the world of SEO and content marketing. Let's shift gears a little bit now and talk about content marketing. We live in a world with an ever-shifting landscape of social media, no shortage of ways to get a company's message out to potential customers. This environment also makes it incredibly difficult for a message to cut through the noise. So suppose you have a chief executive officer sitting in front of you right now who's skeptical about the return on investment from content marketing. What advice do you have for them to improve outcomes and drive performance from engaging in content marketing?
A good question. Honestly, I feel like content marketing is something that isn't going to get you results overnight. It's a slow build. And that can be really frustrating, I think, for executives who want to see results immediately.
Yeah,
for sure. And it's a tough balance with some of the other types of marketing. But what it does do that's so powerful and so different is that it isn't disruptive to people in the way that like a commercial is or an ad in your social media feed is. It's about better understanding the target audience and providing content that is helpful and personalized to them. And so with content marketing, you're building an audience that actually wants to know what you have to say. And it makes selling to them a whole lot easier because you've already built trust over time. And when they do need to buy, they are going to know that you're the right fit because they already know you. So instead of trying to create demand with running sales or expensive paid ads, you're basically running these always on campaigns that don't feel like traditional marketing.
Right.
And the audience is just going to be more receptive to what you have to say. And it doesn't have to be about like blogging or article writing, although that can be very effective. One of my favorite examples is Red Bull, probably because I like adventure sports, but they've created just amazing extreme sports videos. They've made documentaries, films, like they have a whole team of journalists. Like they've really built this whole brand around selling an experience that's related to pushing yourself to, you know, as far as you can in extreme sports. And I think that's interesting because it's not about their energy drink anymore. It's really now synonymous with adventure sport athletes. And that was exactly the audience they were looking to attract. And I feel like they invested millions of dollars into it, but it's a really cool campaign that they've run over time. Yeah. Another great example is like Spotify. You know, building personalized experiences really resonates with people. And I think Spotify is so fascinating because all they've done is like with their Spotify Wrapped at the end of the year, is they're just packaging data that they already have on you into a story that then you love, which is like, it's mind blowing because it doesn't really require that much on their part. But people are going to stick with Spotify because they want their Spotify Wrapped at the end of the year. And I feel like, you know, you're talking about surviving and all the noise, but what you really want to do is develop brand loyalty. And that's how it's done, right? It takes time. It takes investment. But the results are a whole lot stickier than traditional marketing.
Yeah. The phrase, as a former chief executive, when folks would come to me and say, we've got to double down on our content marketing strategy, I would be like, okay, but when and where are the results going to come? You know, that's the impetus for this question. And I love your advice to chief executives. And if I could just even put it encapsulated even more is just, you know, think about the community that you're trying to build, the community of customers. And what do you want to say to that community of customers? Your voice as the CEO matters. The rest of your C-suite, of course, there are people all around your company that have something to say to your customers to build that community. And had I been able to make that mind shift sooner, you know, who knows whether we would have had better or worse results. But I do believe very strongly that had I made that connection sooner, we would have been off to the races much, much quicker.
Well, it's good you're there now.
Yeah. Now that I'm no longer chief executive. Nice.
But it's helping you with your personal brand. And so I feel like that's cool to see.
Yeah. So let's continue the thought experiment, change the audience. Suppose you have a recent college graduate who's landed their first job with a focus on SEO and content marketing. What advice do you have for them to avoid common mistakes that new hires make and help them to hit the ground running? We talk about skills a lot on this show. If you can also kind of weave into your answer the most important skill that they need to hone.
Sure. Typically, the advice I give to people starting out is to start your own website. You could read all the books you want on SEO or take courses or listen to talking heads. But like in the end of the day, the best way to learn is to do. And so I feel like just starting a website and starting a content strategy and figuring out what audience you want to attract and what kind of content you want to create, and then figure out how to research it and optimize for it and all of that good stuff. Like, you're going to learn so much more by doing than just by learning theory. And it gives you a story to tell when you're going into an interview, right? Because getting that first job is always the hardest. And so if you have, you know, something you can show that's like, I built this and this is my audience and this is, you know, the results from it, you know, people eat that up. So I feel like that's a huge learning for me. When I was getting started, somebody gave me this advice. And so I started a crockpot recipe blog. And it wasn't a very good site. I was really into crockpot cooking for a lot of years. But you know, I learned so much from it, and at times it was doing decently well, which is kind of a feat because actually the recipe space is super crowded. But you know, I learned so much just by like buying the domain and then figuring out how to hook it up and then figuring out what format is going to work the best. And if I change the layout of this page or that page, what's going to happen, you know, running your own experiments. Yeah. So that was hugely helpful. I guess in terms of skills, I don't know if curiosity is a skill, but it's definitely the number one thing I look for when I'm interviewing people for a job. You have to be curious in this industry and want to understand why people are searching for what they are and be curious about kind of the who, what, where, when, how type stuff. Like, you need to want to talk to people and like learn whatever audience you're trying to reach. So I feel like being able to do that, good at research is another key thing. Actually, honestly, people who graduate from like liberal arts schools, I feel like are really key. Like, they have the skill set coming right out of college for this type of a role, because it's research, it's writing, it's understanding, it's critical thinking. So those to me, I think are probably most important.
Yeah. Thanks so much for that, Allie. Great advice. We live in a world where education is getting more and more experiential, and having that portfolio, just like if you were an artist, you'd go into your job and you'd have a physical portfolio, you'd lay it out for folks and say, this is what I can do. So that advice for learners is just top notch. Let's have a little fun as we close out the show. Two lightning round questions. First, I put you in a time machine. You can send a message to an earlier version of yourself. What's the message, and what previous version of yourself do you choose to send it to?
That's tough. I would love to go back to, say, 2008 and tell myself to stop going to the bar all the time and save some of that money and invest it into maybe Google or Apple. But I don't even think that would have been enough money to create anything worthwhile. No, I think I would probably go back about 10 years to, I guess this would have been myself working around the time that I started at Kaplan. And just tell myself that the hard work is actually going to pay off. I did spend some time freelancing on the side for a lot of years just to try to pay off my student loan debt. I spent a lot of time networking, not really knowing what my end goal was other than it seemed like a good thing to do. But just, you know, reassure myself that all of the work that I was doing, kind of the seeds I was planting early on in my career would really help me down the line. Like, you know, I can become a consultant and do it quickly because I have a great network of people. Right. And I've built, you know, the brand, my own personal brand, you know, through all of that work over time. And all of the like public speaking and the networking, like all of that is now really paying off because people already know who I am and they're excited to work with me. So that I think is really, it's just really cool to see. But yeah, I feel like that would be, I'm sure there's a lot of things I could go back and tell myself to do differently, but you know, it's all about the journey of getting here. And sometimes you have to learn things the hard way or you won't learn them. So
that's right.
Yeah.
So, other lightning round question. We're all works in progress. We're all growing. We're all learning. What are you focused on right now in your personal journey of growth?
I'm definitely in a growth year. That's for sure. I'm learning a lot about running my own business. I'm learning about what it means to be an S corp and taxes and payroll. I'm learning how to optimize my time for efficiency and juggling multiple clients and figuring out how to do that with minimal context switching. So that's been kind of interesting to learn. I'm learning how to grow, you know, my own brand and developing more of a thought leadership strategy for myself, similar to what you do, actually. You know, I've advised lots of people throughout the years on how they should do it. And now I have to sit down with myself and figure it out. So that's kind of fun. And just kind of figure out where I'm adding the most value for clients and how to sell more of that. So it seems like right now scaling is a big key piece of it. So that will be something I continue to learn and evolve.
Minimal context switching. I learned that terminology from the technologists that we were working. I think it was Mike Terzis is one of the first folks that I heard that from. And lo and behold, that is one of my biggest things that I am continually working on. I'm so easily distracted that, you know, making that time in that environment to stay in the moment in a particular content thread is so difficult.
It is. Yeah. I mean, you lose like 20 minutes when you try to switch gears Right. Sometimes. Just takes you a while to get into something again. And yeah, kind of learning that. Or like if you have to switch from one client to another, it's like reviewing what you're doing or, you know, had been talking about last time. Yeah, all of that takes time. Yep. So.
All right, Allie, it's been wonderful talking to you today. What's next for you and where can folks connect with you?
I am very available. So you can find me on LinkedIn, Allie Berry, or you can find me on my website, which is allieberry.me. I'm working on buying the .com, but somebody else owns it. So those are probably the best ways to get in touch. And yeah, I'm available for consulting projects. If anybody's looking for a fractional SEO director, that's probably the best gig the one I'm enjoying the most is actually like being a part of somebody's organization and helping them grow and scale. So yeah.
Very, very cool. Well, you have my stamp of approval, my recommendation for our listeners. It's been wonderful. I'm so proud of you and the journey that you've taken and I wish you all the best. My name is Andy Tempty. This is the Balancing Act Podcast. You can find us on all the major streaming services. Please like, subscribe, rate, and most importantly, share this public good. This episode was produced by Nick Tempty. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.